Psalm 49 for this morning's hour. Psalm 49, please, gentlemen. I didn't tarry too long in Psalm 48. I just trying to follow God through these psalms and mind Him, and not really trying to preach verse by verse, but I do feel like we'll preach at least a couple of times out of this psalm today and next Sunday, Lord willing, out of Psalm 49. He said, "Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption." By the way, verse 8 is put in there by the translators as a commentary. And the sentence or the statement will have more continuity if you read it one time, leaving that verse out. But it's there as a commentary. He said in verse number 10, "For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish." I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. Life without God is pretty meaningless, regardless of whatever state you might be living in, whatever condition of life you may have, whatever position you might hold. Life without Christ is meaningless. He said that their way is that this their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. I don't want to get into that. I'll touch on that probably next week. But in so many words, David's saying their children follow in their footsteps. Amen. Their posterity approve their saying. Those that follow them will simply, they approve their saying. They're going to follow right smack in their footsteps. He said, "Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them." And I've got that next word marked out as it had. "Have the upright and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself." Boy, right here is one of the saddest verses in all the Word of God. "He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light." How sad, gentlemen, how sad that is. "Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I thank Thee this morning for the privilege that's mine again to stand and proclaim the Word of God. And I pray that You'll help me this morning to rightly divide it. It will be ineffective unless it is rightly divided and applied to our hearts, and then, Lord, receive with the proper spirit and attitude. And I pray today that You would open up every heart to Thy Word as we bring the introduction to this tremendous psalm, this psalm of instruction and wisdom, to people across and throughout the world. Help us, I pray, to say something that will be a blessing to Island Ford Baptist Church and bring glory and honor to your name. Enlighten our eyes today and make us wise with all understanding. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what is done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Fellas, I want to begin this psalm today simply by giving us a brief introduction to it. If we close out early, we'll have a little time of prayer before the preaching hour. But I want to take a little while to introduce the psalm, and then, Lord willing, next week we'll try to get into the very meat of it and hope that it'll be a blessing to us. I have titled this psalm, A Message of Wisdom. A Message of Wisdom. And I take that from verse number 3, where the psalmist said, My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. In most of the psalms that we've been through, the penman, or we find him, either praying or praising. And they are psalms of praise, and they're psalms of prayer. And in the majority of them, that is where we find the psalmist, either praying or praising. Now, I want to say to you this morning, let me just say this. But here in this particular psalm, we find the psalmist preaching. And I've said this so many times, I'll say it again today. When we depart from praying and preaching and praising, we have departed from the will of God for His church. God did not organize His church to socialize, to make it a house of pleasures, but He said it should be called a house of prayer. God never intended for us to come to the church and play, but to come to the church and preach. It is a soul-saving station where the Word of God is proclaimed in truth, being rightly divided by the man of God, and sinners are here and are saved by the marvelous grace of God. It is a place that we are to pray and to get a hold of God for the desired blessings of life. It is a place whereby we praise the darling Lamb of God for what He's done for us. Buddy, I'll tell you, I about got beside myself this morning when Brother Purser was preaching on John 3:16. When he got into that squealing gear, I'm not a lie, fellas. I come up out of my chair. I said, hallelujah to God for John 3:16. That God loved the world, gentlemen, and gave Himself for it. Somebody said, what are we supposed to preach, Brother Hall? That love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And it's no wonder here that the psalmist brings us a message of wisdom. Gentlemen, it was great wisdom to turn to God who is above, that man might escape the damnations of hell that is beneath. That is wisdom. I'm telling you, a man would have to be dumber than a box of rocks, a friend, to remain in his lost condition after he has heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be wise to chunk all religion, all sin, I just chunk the world along with it, and come to God that you might be saved. For this psalm teaches us that whether we are rich or whether we are poor, whether we are high or whether we are low, we are all like sheep laid in the grave and we all come to naught. And all that is accomplished upon this earth or attained in this life will soon vanish away, and only that which is done for Christ will have any lasting effect upon your life and upon mine. Friend, I'm telling you, it's time that we laid up treasures yonder in heaven where thieves can't get into it, where the moths cannot corrupt it, and rust cannot corrupt it. It's time that we exchange the wealth and the riches of this world for the riches of God's divine, wonderful, marvelous, holy, blessed, eternal grace
that He hath bestowed upon fallen humanity, that by that grace we might know God and escape the torments of hell and enjoy heaven's bliss for time and eternity. Amen and amen. And like the psalmist said, I won't say sealer right there. Stop and think about it a little while. That's right, ain't it? Now, this psalm meets the temptation which arises to the righteous from the prosperity of the wicked. And gentlemen, there is a temptation there. I mean, friend, we're living in a Laodicean church age. And the philosophy is today is, get all you can all you get. But I'm going to tell you, the philosophy of God is, whatever He gives you, use it for the glory and honor of God. Amen. That's right. And our philosophy today is, friend, that to get all we can all we get, and the temptation is, as the world gets richer and the rich get richer, it is a great temptation to the people of God to depart from the righteousness of God in search of riches, my friend, that will not last. And I'm going to tell you, what we've done in our churches, we've done exactly like Jeremiah said. We have digged ourselves cisterns that cannot hold water. And I believe it was like Amos. We've put money in our bags that have holes in the bottom of it. And the more we get, the more we want. And the more we want, the more we strive for. And the more, gentlemen, that we strive for, the less we really have. That's right, and there's a temptation there. Now you can agree with me on that, or you can just you can either agree or be wrong, whichever you want to be. But I'm telling you, friend, when we look out yonder and see a man and his wife both working, and they're living in, and I'm be honest, I've got a nice home and I thank God for it. But I'm be honest, if God hadn't given it to me, and this church hadn't been good to me and provided the land, I would not have what I've got. I didn't set out to get it. But I'm telling you, there is a temptation in this society, friend, on God's people to look out yonder at what the wealth, the worldly, what the world has, and in their prosperity, and make every effort within our power to achieve the same thing they have. May I say to you, my friend, if we would set our affection upon God and things above, that while they're wallowing in the fires of hell, you and I will be enjoying a mansion that cost us nothing. We never put our hands on it to build. It's reserved yonder in heaven for us, already built, already waiting there. All we've got to do, my friend, is step right into it. I'll guarantee you that it is already furnished with some of the finest furnishings that heaven can provide for us. That's right. Got a good kitchen in there. God will bake up some fine bread in it for us. Amen. You'll catch that one after a while. And I'll guarantee you it's got a shower that'll keep you clean throughout eternity. Hallelujah to God. And it's not a living room to sit down and rest in for time and eternity. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, what about a bedroom? Don't need none. There'll be no night there to go to sleep under. Amen. What a God. Hallelujah. Now, what the psalmist has delivered here served to the rich for a warning. And it is a warning to the rich and those that would be rich. Now, I'm not going into all of it today, brethren, because Lord willing, we're going to some more of it next week. We'll get into the meat of the psalm next week. But it is a warning to the rich. And to the poor, it's a consolation. My goodness. Friend, when the poor of God's people look at the wealth of the world and begin to seek after that prosperity, we ought to turn from it. God will console us with the fact that we've not got home yet. We ain't got there yet. And then to the poor, it's for consolation. The poor are in danger of inordinate desire of wealth, and the rich from inordinate delight of it. I said an inordinate desire. It is not a godly desire, and an inordinate delight. I'm telling you, friend, this society we're living in delights in their money. I've never in my life. Remember, I do read the newspaper. I know Brother Thompson jumped on that with both feet the other night about reading the newspaper, but I do read the newspaper. And I'm telling you, I've never seen the likes of the money, my friend, that is being paid to these high-class athletes in our society to get on a ball court and dribble a ball, or to get out on a playing field and beat a little ball around. And it seems like the more that crowd wants, the more that crowd gets, and marker down, the very pleasure that has engulfed them is destroying them, and their wealth is destroying the very pleasures that they're seeking after in this world. That's right. Our God, may God have mercy on us. Hey, the low will be encouraged, and the high will be warned. He says that. He sends out a proclamation in verse 2 to both the high, the low and the high, and the rich and the poor together. But the low will be encouraged, the high will be warned, the rich will be sobered, and the poor will be consoled. There will, and there, by the way, there is a useful lesson in this psalm for everybody. The psalmist said, "Hear this, all ye people." And my friend, there is a lesson in the Word of God for whosoever will. Whether they be rich, whether they be poor, whether they be high, whether they be low, God said there is a lesson here that you can learn if you will hear and apply your heart unto wisdom and understanding. There's something here that you can get a hold of to help you in a difficult hour. That's right. Aren't you glad that God has something for everybody? Huh? Now you stop and get a hold of that. God's got something for everybody. Son, I'm going to tell you something. Bill Clinton could sit down in here this morning. Or maybe David Trump. That Trump fellow with all that money going to build that big NASCAR racetrack so they can get up there and drink Budweiser and get drunk. Daddy can spend all their money at the racetrack, go home on Monday morning without a dime in his pocket, and send the kids to school without lunch money and holes in their socks and their shoes. Amen, in their britches. But oh, but Daddy had a good time. But I'm here to tell you, friend, whether it be David Trump sitting back there on the pew, or whether it be Lazarus without a dime in his pocket, whether it be the king of a foreign country or the lowest man in the world, God has got a lesson for each of us to be learned. Amen. Got a lesson for all of us if we're willing to learn it. I said willing to learn it. People got to be willing to learn. I'm going to tell you the problem in 1998, most folks are not willing to learn because we're comfortable and we like where we're living, and we're just not too interested in learning anything else from God. In fact, most people have gotten the idea, friend, that if they cut their hair just right, or put on the right kind of clothes and look right, that they have arrived in Christianity. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm learning that Christianity is a whole lot more than just the external things that we try to claim to be godly people. It goes a lot further than that. Somebody said, "Well, what about separation and sanctification?" Thank God for salvation. Thank God for separation. Thank God for sanctification. But I'm telling you, my friend, there are some principles of life and some lessons to be learned that God will give us if we'll turn an ear and hear what the Spirit says under the church of the God. Amen. There's not too many people willing to give that ear to God, though, is there? Huh? We're content right where we're living and don't have any early idea how far we are from God. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I started reading a book by Thomas Watson. And fellas, if you can like it or lump it, I study after other men. And it'd do you well to study after other men. Huh? Glean from the minds of others And Thomas Watson, the book that I'm reading, was first printed in 1658. And I'm telling you that we are far from Christianity, from what the Bible really teaches. There are numberless lessons in the Bible that we have never learned from God. And the reason most of us have never learned them, they've never been taught. And the reason they've never been taught is that men do not take enough time to study the Bible to get something to give to somebody. I mean, most preaching that you hear today has got five or six or seven little old points to it. All of them a little old literated point, power, purity, preaching, praising, and that's all they are to it. But they never say nothing about that preaching and praising and a praying, and they never say nothing about how we're to live for God. Huh? Let me ask you something. When was the last time most churches heard any kind of a message at all on honesty? I guarantee it ain't preached very much. Most Baptist preachers take for granted that if a man's saved, he's a pretty honest fella. But I'm learning that a whole lot of people claim to be saved is as dishonest, bless God, as what Bill Clinton is.
Amen.
They'll lie to you in a minute.
Amen.
They'll lie to you in a minute, fellas. Amen. Now listen, listen a minute. I'm talking about a message of wisdom, gentlemen. The psalmist here becomes the wise teacher. He is the wise teacher. And those who undertake to teach others must first learn themselves. Oh my. Somebody said, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Have you even read through the Bible one time yet? Somebody said, oh, I want to be a preacher and a pastor. Have you read the Bible through one time yet? I'm telling you, friend, churches are placing men and women in positions of leadership and places to teach the Bible, and they've not even read the Bible through one time yet. Now, I'm here to tell you, before a man ever undertakes to teach somebody, he's first got to learn himself. You can't teach something that you do not know. You know what's wrong in our education system? In our educational system in America? We've got a bunch of school teachers standing in classrooms that are duds. They don't know, pardon the expression, they don't know their hind end from a hole in the ground. They don't know nothing about history. They don't know anything about math. They don't know anything at all about the subject that they're teaching on, and they're trying to teach others. And friend, I'm going to tell you, you can't tell somebody about something that you do not know. Now, hey, look here. I'm going to tell you why our churches are so filled up with lost men and women. Because a man standing behind the pulpit cannot carry anybody any further than he himself has been in the Word of God. And most of them today behind the pulpit have never been to Calvary. How in God's name are they going to get a sinner to Calvary if they've never been to Calvary themselves? How are they going to tell anybody about the love of God if they've never experienced that love? Oh, I'm telling you, I'm about to get whoop! I'm about to get a little happy. I'm telling you, son, the more I heard about old brother Purser this morning talking on the love of God, the more excited I got down in my soul. I'm glad, thank God, that I've got some kind of an understanding of the love of God in my life. That God loves sinners. What'd I knock off? Let it go. Amen. Praise God, son. I'm glad I know God loves me. Woo! Amen. When God gives a tongue of the learned, He first wakens the ear to hear the learned. Hear what I said? If God, I know the Sunday, the ladies down in Mexico gave my wife a little plaque and had it written in Spanish. And it said something about the tongue that God has given you, the tongue of the learned. Now, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Before God would give any man or any woman the tongue of the learned, they got to have an ear to learn. They got to be willing to listen. I'm going to tell you the reason most men today don't know anything. They're not willing to listen. Oh, I know her all, preacher. Why, after all, I've been around the world. And I know her all. You might have been around the world, know about the world. But if you've been through the book and know about God, that's what I want to know, gentlemen. Hallelujah to God. Paul said that I may know Him. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Being made conformable unto His death. I'm telling you, you don't know much unless you know about the fellowship of His sufferings. Unless you're being made conformable unto His death. Somebody said, how do we conform unto His death? By being crucified with Christ. Hallelujah to God. Are you dead? Have you fell into the ground and died? You'll abide alone if you haven't. But if you fall into the ground and die, you'll bring forth much wheat for God. Thanks be unto God. Do you know? Have you learned? Do you know about His will? Do you know about His work? Do you know about His wonderful grace? Do you know about His wisdom? Have you given God the ear and become wise, brethren? Oh my, I'll tell you, for some words of wisdom today from the tongues of men. Somebody said, preacher, the men of God's all that has to be wise. Oh no, I'm here to tell you something, friend. You as a daddy need a wise tongue. That you might rightly lead your home and lead those children and raise them in the nurture and the admonition of God. Now, I know I'll get criticized for this, but we got a little old CD in the other day. And it had on there Tales from the Front Porch. And I said, I'm going to see what it is. They wanted to put it on there. And it was Dr. David Gully or Gilly or something like that. And I sat down in my office and went to listening to it, and Brother Doug come in there and sat down. Little old 3-minute things. And I'm going to tell you something. Fellas, I sat there in my office and wept. Listening, that old man sitting there talked about a story about an old woman that her husband died, and she had a tree out front and the wind blew it over. Little old simple thing. But at the close of that little 3 minutes, he related every one of them back to the Word of God and what God had to say. And I said, why? We've gotten so far from that. Friend, we've got so far out into the world, we've gotten away from back porch tales and what Grandpa and Grandma used to tell us on the back porch of the house, sitting in an old rocking chair, my friend. We've gotten so far away from God that we've forgotten, my friend, how to tell our children about the simple things of life and keep life simple and keep our children at home and keep them down on the farm or out in the country. Keep them on a pond bank. Keep them out in the woods. But keep them out of the city and see it and look at us. Little old simple things. We're putting it on the station. We'll try it for 22 times anyhow and see what he's got to say. Somebody said, is he a Baptist? I doubt it. I don't know any Baptist today's got that kind of sense. We're going to give her a try. Little old common things, fellas. I'm telling you that we've gotten so wise, we've become ignorant. Are you listening to me? We can build hydrogen bombs that'll literally destroy the world that we're living in. That's real wise, ain't it? That's what I'm saying, Brother Jerry. It ain't too wise. That's real wisdom. To develop something that can destroy you is as asinine as anything that I've ever heard of. Oh, we can build ocean liners that'll cruise across the ocean carrying hundreds of people aboard at one time. We can develop ships and put them out in the ocean big enough, my friend, and have enough technology that an airplane running 700 miles an hour can land on the deck of it. We can send men to the moon and let them jump around and walk around on the moon. We can send such sophisticated equipment out into outer space that it can circle Mars and Jupiter and all the planets and take pictures and send back to Earth and show us exactly what the atmosphere is like. But we're so dumb that we cannot tell our kids how to get to God! Where we're living. Wisdom, gentlemen. A message of wisdom that went to the high, to the low, the rich and the poor. Hear, oh, ye people. Said, I didn't leave nobody out. All inclusive is this psalm, buddy. Psalm of wisdom to everybody, and there's a lesson there for all to learn from the psalm. God, when God gives a tongue, and I've already mentioned that, and He says an unthoughtful ministry is a great curse. Meditation and patient and earnest thought should ever precede the speech of a preacher. Somebody said, well, I don't have time. See, we're in such a hustle and bustle today that most men don't have time to sit down to the Word of God, friend, and just sit there and think on it. I'm going to tell you something. I closed my Bible. I don't even have much of an outline as far as the little points this morning. But I closed my Bible about 9 o'clock this morning, turned my face to that window sitting in front of that little old stove, and looked out that window to the rain falling, and began to pray and meditate upon these Scriptures. And I thought, Lord, how far we've gone down the tube, my friend, when men are so hoodwinked by the devil, that most of them, my friend, are like the man that trains the falcon. They're going hooded into hell with a blind over their eyes and cannot see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. I sat in my living room and I wept this morning, my friend, about those in this life and society that have got their pocketbooks padded with money, but they don't know God. Or they've got great buildings and they'll name their buildings after them and call them by their name. And their children will follow in their footsteps, and their footsteps will ultimately lead them down a primrose path to hell, where they have spent an eternity without God and without any hope. Wisdom! By the way, the proverb writer said, it is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding. Don't be as a horse. You got to put bits in his bridle, in his mouth, and pull and tug. Get some understanding about you. And let God gently lead you through this life. And oh, and Brother Wayne, when this life is over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when this life is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wisdom. Wisdom. Don't take time to meditate and think upon the Scripture. And men, it'd be good for you as a layman to meditate and think upon the Word of God. Spend time. Somebody said, well, heaven's brass and I can't pray. Just sit there and think about Bible, the Bible principle that you're reading. Amen. Just meditate in it, gentlemen. Just chew it up like an old cow and swallow it. And about 2 days later, when it starts getting good again, just belch right and go chewing on that cud one more time. Somebody said, preacher, green juice will run out in my chin. That's the point I'm trying to make. You chew on it long enough, boys, it'll get so good something will run out of you. You ever see one of them old cows? I've seen them things in Arizona now. They'd chew that cud, and all there was out there was cactuses to chew on. Now, I've seen them things with cactus needles that long running out their lips. We've seen them running out their lips this way and that way, but they stand there. And that old green stuff are running out their chin. Somebody said, I don't want no green stuff running out my chin, boys. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I want to chew on the Word of God, meditate in that Bible, Amen to God. Have a little bit of grace run out one corner. And a little of the love of God run out the middle. And on the other side, and let a little bit of God's mercy run all the way down and rip off of my chin. I'm telling you, like the anointed oil of Aaron, run down his head. Oh, thy death through his beard into his skirt. May the love of God, my friend, run out of our soul as we meditate on the Bible. Woo! See what time it is. Now, listen carefully. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I'm not very wise. Why not? Can I ask you why not? If you are not, it is nobody's fault but thine, beloved. For the Bible said that wisdom is available to all. And it proceeds from God. For James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. Somebody said, oh, I wish I had the wisdom of some of these older men of God that have gone on. Then get it! Somebody said, I wish I was as wise as old Billy Sunday. Get it! Somebody said, I wish I was as wise as Charles Spurgeon. It's available, gentlemen. That same wisdom that Spurgeon had is locked up in the heart of God. And if you will ask, God will unlock His heart and pour wisdom out in unmeasurable amounts that we might know Him and be wise in this world and bring glory to His name as we live. It is available. I'm going to tell you what. Money is the most available thing in this society right now. And everything that it'll buy. Sex, gambling, liquor, dope. Money is available. And the world is flocking to it like flies. But wisdom of God is also available. And God's people that should be running to Him are sitting on their stool of do-nothing and watching the world in their prosperity live and pass off the scene and go to hell. And saying, my, ain't they got it wonderful? How dumb can we be? God, help us. Ask of God. The value. What is a value? Somebody said, well, what kind of a value, Brother Hall, do you put on wisdom? I say that wisdom exceeds the value of gold, brethren. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because the proverb writer said in Proverbs 16:16, how much better is wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather than chosen silver. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that wisdom from God has more value than the gold of this world. And understanding in that book is worth more than all the silver in this land. I believe it was Brother Steve the other day told me, he said, now, preacher, he said, I heard that read in a paper or something, or somebody had told him, might have been Chris or somebody, I don't know. But he said, I heard or something that when if this Y2K or 2KYP or whatever it is, I call it a mess, junk. This Y2 junk deal goes down. He said, you can take an actual piece of silver, a troy ounce of silver, and live off of it for a month because it'll become barter and you can live off that silver for a month. I got thinking about that. I said, that's pretty good. Take an ounce of silver and live off of it a month. But Jerome, look here, fellas. I got some silver back in September the 13th, 1970.
Amen.
That I'm going to live off of forever. I've got the silver of redemption, Brother Ricky. Well, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All the world to Him resigned. I have been redeemed. Silver is a type of redemption. Gold is a type of the deity of Christ. So get Christ and get redemption. It's worth more, gentlemen, than all the wealth this world has to offer. Woo! Hallelujah. Now notice something here. Notice the wealth of the psalmist's heart in verse number 3. He said, "My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding." If I understand that right, that old boy must have a golden tongue and a silver heart. I just now got a hold of that. Not like a velvet tongue. Some of these velvet tongue fellas. Like a golden tongue. Speaking words of wisdom. And by the way, that same golden tongue was able to play those words of wisdom upon a harp. He said, "With my lips I make sweet music of wisdom, and with my fingers I play about the wisdom of God." Are you hearing what I'm saying? "And out of my mouth shall proceed dark sayings that can be understood." Hallelujah. May I say, gentlemen, to use wisdom in your dealings with others every day. I'm talking about a message of wisdom now. The psalmist here has become a preacher. What about that? Don't know if it's David, Asaph. I don't know which one of the psalmists it was. It's unknown. It's just a psalm to the sons of Korah. Sang it in the worship. Sang it out there in the worship service. But it is a psalm of wisdom, gentlemen, and a message of, hey, look here, use wisdom in your dealing with others. Paul said in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Now, you need to learn to be as wise as a serpent, gentlemen, and as harmless as a dove. I'm going to tell you something right now. You better be wise enough to behave yourself as becometh a child of God when you're in the presence of those that are without, lest you offend them with your stupidity. Somebody said, "My best time, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. We better learn, hey." And look here. And you know how? Do you know how that Paul goes on there and says that we're to be wise amongst them and without? Number one, redeeming our time. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If those that are without see you every week laying on a beach, every night out hobnobbing around all over the country, running up and down the highways, this and that, hey, fellas, that ain't gonna be showing much wisdom to that crowd. He said, "Redeeming your time." But here's the one that I like. Hallelujah to God. He said, "Redeeming the time," and then he said, "Let your speech be always seasoned with grace, that you may know how to answer every man." Let that old tongue of wisdom be seasoned with just a tad bit of grace, gentlemen. If I understand that right, is that you don't always have to be right. And you can show the same kind of affection to that man without as you'd want him to show. That's grace. As you'd want the Lord to show you, that's grace. Huh? That you can be as honest in your dealings with those that are without as you would want God to be honest with you toward your dealings with them. Are you hearing what Brother Hall is saying? In other words, gentlemen, have a good... Somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, the only guy that's got to have a good report to them that are without is the preacher." You better read your Bible, friend. A man that does not have a good report amongst those that are without ought never go into the ministry. Never. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
I went to Brother Crawford's the other night and walked in, and there sat Miss Pearl Prince and her husband sitting in Ryan's eating. We had a meal and went on over. I met she was a lady who worked at the bank up here, and a fine lady. She worked at the bank up there. And I walked by, and I noticed her as I walked by, going to the bathroom and turned around and come by. She looked up at me and spoke, and I said, "How are you, Miss Prince?" She said, "I'm fine, Mr. Hall." I said, "I want you to cordially, you know. But I'm going to tell you something about folks. Look here. I didn't have to duck my head, bless God, when I saw that woman. I had conducted myself properly with my finances and with my own character and my business dealings while I was around that woman. And I did not have to scrub my feet. I'm telling you, there have been times in my life years ago when I'd meet somebody, I kind of had to drag my feet around and scuff and couldn't look them in the eye. But I'm telling you, as far as I know, there's not a man or a woman, boy or girl, that I cannot look eyeball to eyeball, because I have depth and wisdom with those that are without. I saw your uncle and his wife at Ryan. And I thought, he's going to break his neck to get to me. It amazed me. I'm not lying, fella. I'm talking about Leonard. It just amazed me. He came over and said, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" I said, "All right, Brother Leonard, how are you?" And we stood there and talked to him just like it was when he was here in the church. I said, "Glory." I thought to myself, "Glory to God." And when we left, I went over and talked to them. They said, "Y'all come see us sometime." I thought, under God, I didn't have to duck. I didn't have to duck, fellas. But I thought, glory to my God, why could God be doing something? Could God? I'm starting to kind of chill out here a little bit. Could God be doing something? Amen. Now, here in Psalm 49, the message is not, to become overwhelmed with an inordinate desire of making money, but look to God with wisdom. Now, I'm just going to mention this and I'm closing. There's an illustration in Luke chapter number 12. The rich man will build barns bigger and bigger, and the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night my soul shall be required of thee." There's an illustration in James chapter number 4, verses 13 through 15. James said, "Go to now, you that say tomorrow, I'll go to such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain. For you know not what is on the mouth. For what is your life? It is but a vapor of smoke that appears for a little while and vanishes away." Are you listening to me? I see, first of all, his summons. He said, "Here." I'm talking about a clarion call going out. He said, "Here, all ye people." A summons. I mean, he calls us. He commands them. He brings them into court, if you please. He said, "Listen to what I've got to say." And that summons is universal. It's to all the world. It is to all classes of people in verse 2. Low, high, rich, and poor. The Lord, gentlemen, has something for everybody. His subject is wisdom, wealth, and warning to all classes of people. To those that are rich, not to become engrossed with their wealth. And to those that are poor, to seek not wealth, but seek God, who has the wealth of the world and heaven. The world in His hand, and the wealth of heaven in His heart. And He said, "I've given it all to you."